Welcome to Hope Talks, where we share inspiring stories of hope in Jesus Christ. Hope Talks is hosted by Pastor Margaret Michael and Grayson Willis. Join us for uplifting stories of triumph, faith, and the enduring power of Christ's love. Also, if you're in the listening area, tune in to 1470 AM or 102.1 FM WBTX to listen to Hope Talks every Sunday at noon.
Welcome to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. I'm Grayson Willis. Thanks for tuning in. And I'm joined by Micah Branson today as my co-host sitting in for Pastor Margaret. Micah, how are you doing today?
Hey, Grayson. I had to move my microphone up a little bit. Well, we miss Margaret.
Yep. She misses being here today, but has some meetings away from here at the time of this recording. And Micah, would you like to introduce our guest today?
It is my great joy to bring in a story for her good and God's glory in Lila Devers. She is known locally for her right arm in pitching, but being an amazing teammate and a story of testimony of God's grace and direction that I thought would be powerful to share.
How are you doing today, Lila?
I'm doing great today. How are you?
Good. So Lila will be sharing her testimony with us today. Lila, just start out telling us about where you're from and about how you grew up.
Well, hi, I'm Lila Devers, and I'm currently going to Broadway High School. I grew up in Broadway, Virginia, and I've lived with both my parents all my life and my two older brothers, Ryan and Austin. And we've always been a very like close-knit and loving family, but there was always just something missing, and that was Jesus.
You guys are incredibly tight-knit. What are the things that knit you together as you grew up, and how did that change when Jesus entered?
We've always been very close. We've always loved like doing activities together, whether that's on the ball field or even my brothers, they swam a lot and hunting and just outdoor stuff. And yes, always been very close knit, but there's also been times where like we butt heads and it's like, well, there's definitely something missing. And I think Jesus has really came into our life the last 2 years, and he entered my life. Well, I started realizing him the most when I entered high school and just started facing like normal like high school teenage problems, and he's guided me through those things, and he's been working through my family through that.
I've said jokingly a lot of times, and I've grown a lot more in the last 10 years than I did in the previous 30 through God's guidance, but I keep saying, you know, it's a good thing that that person said that to me after Jesus entered.
Yeah.
Or that thing happened. It certainly is a roadmap for a life with more peace.
Yeah, I mean, I think about at the time of this recording, previous Sunday, Pastor Kevin shared this video about this guy that got a new heart. And we have a new heart when Christ enters, and so we should look different. At what point did Christ become part of your life? Like, what did that look like?
He started showing up the most in high school, and I actually met my boyfriend now, Zachariah Stumiller, and I got introduced to his family, and they run a ministry called Table 61, and they do home church, and that's like the first time I ever really started going to church and being around that setting, and just hearing their testimonies and how the Lord's moved in their life was really inspiring to me, and I really wanted that, and so that's where it all kind of sparked. And I just started noticing him, like, helping me in the little things, like navigating friendships and just the hardships in life. But, like, recently, I got baptized last summer, and I see that moment not as just, like, when I gave my life to Christ, but also just a new beginning.
Right.
And, like, just the new thing that the Lord was doing in my life, right, and trusting that new thing.
I love that new life. We say there can't be a resurrection unless there's first a death. So death to the old self and life new in Christ. So thank you for sharing that, Lila.
We're certainly raised to life, and there's a beautiful picture of you from that baptism day. Maybe we'll grab that and put that on the social.
That would be
here.
Cool,
that'd
yeah.
Most people cool, see her with a ball in her right hand about to deliver death. But I got to meet Lila probably 3 years ago, I would say. Becky Cantrell, the head coach of Broadway softball, is one of my lifelong friends. Gave her a concussion with a big backswing in the slow pitch softball, and we've been good friends ever since. You know, that's a picture of forgiveness too. But I got to meet Lila as a freshman, just being present in practice some and just being present with the team. And I noticed that there's been this journey for her. And so that's why I asked her to come today and tell us about what that journey has been like. Because as a freshman, I can remember the game against Skyline vividly. And I stood there and thought, this is really special. And there was somebody next to me who said, she might be the best that's ever pitched here. And that was an early time to say that. But you just got the feeling that it was special. And I thought, man, she's going to overcome. And games like this are going to look a little different. And it was really quickly how she came to learn to overcome. And this past season, you had shared with me early on that God kind of spoke to you.
Yeah.
Can you share with us what that was like?
So, like, before season started, like, Coach Becky and Coach Darren were talking to me about stepping up as a leader. And I was contemplating, like, what that should look like this year for me. And it actually started, it was February 2nd of this year. I remember the date because I had a crazy encounter with the Lord. But that morning I was at church and there was a group called Team Challenge, and they're recovering addicts or like just came like from being incarcerated. And they were sharing like their testimonies and just radical encounters they've had with the Lord. And I kind of broke down in church. I was like, wow, I've never had that. And I really want that. And a group of girls at church started praying over me, and they were just praying for that encounter and that I would just realize that like the Lord does encounter me, but sometimes it's not always in like big ways. Like little moments with the Lord are just as special as big moments. That night I was leaving my boyfriend's house and I was playing a song. One of my favorite songs, Ankle Deep, and one of the phrases in it is, I'm not content with ankle deep until you fully consume all of me. And I was singing that song in the car, and I started praying out for the Lord to encounter me. And I, like, started shouting my prayers, and I was like, wow, this isn't me. Like, this is the Holy Spirit. And I turned on a road close to my house, and I just told the Lord, like, fully encounter me right now. And I don't even remember driving this road. And he just took me into a vision. And in this vision, he was just showing me, like, this upcoming softball season. And he was showing me, like, becoming a leader, but not just leading my team, like, in softball, but, like, being a leader of Christ and leading them to Christ.
Wow.
I pray with my team before every game. And he showed me praying, but these prayers, they weren't, like, just for the game or, like, just for the win or something like that. I was praying, like, for each and every one of my teammates' lives and, like, just really, like, praying for revival over our team. Yeah, and then he also showed me my catcher, Maddie Wolf, and just showed me praying with her and just us stepping up as leaders together. And then he also showed me one of the Daily News Record guys, like, interviewing me after a game. And he asked me, like, how did you do it? Like, how did you perform? Like, what was your mindset? And I told him in this vision that, like, nothing's impossible if Christ is with you and he strengthens you. And I said, all glory to God. And then I get home and I'm like, wow, did this really, like, when I got home, I was like, did this really just happen? And then enemy, like, immediately started attacking me, like, telling me that wasn't true, like, you made it up and stuff like that. So I was praying to Jesus and just saying, please just clarify this with me so that I know, like, this is really from you. And the next day, I had ordered a t-shirt online, and I completely had forgotten about it, and the shirt said, all glory to God. And that's exactly what I said. That's exactly what the Lord showed me saying in the vision, and I was like, wow. Yeah. And so that's when I realized, like, wow. And that also made me realize that the Lord is always there with you. He's always, you have access to him, like, anytime you want. And he's always there. You just have to invite him into your life. And you have to make the time to spend with him.
Right.
And so that was just a couple weeks before softball season started. And then we started softball. And I was really holding on to that and really trying to walk in faith in everything I do, be in faith and just representing him and just being a vessel of his love. And I really started seeing that vision, like, come to life. It was one of our second games. I had thrown a perfect game. And that, I don't know if you know what that is, but it's nobody reached base. Like,
walks, no hits, no errors.
And I had realized in about the fifth inning that I had a possibility of throwing this perfect game. And my flesh started overthinking, and, like, I was trying to overthrow, like, trying to strike everybody out. And I walked to the back of the mound. I was at a 3-0 count, no strikes. And I told the Lord, I started praying. I said, like, you be my strength. And if this is in your will, like, you will be the one that does it, not me. And then 3 strikes in a row, I struck him out. And he guided me through the rest of that game. And that's when I realized, like, wow, this is what playing for the glory of God is really like. And I started learning, like, throughout the season that, because, like, my freshman, sophomore year, I cared a lot about, like, accolades and, like, just what everybody thought. And this year I was really able to play in freedom and knowing that I'm not defined by what the media or anybody says about me, but I'm defined by the one who made me. So that was awesome.
I'll drop something in there that's powerful too. So you never know what kind of impact you're having on people, And so I think it was that perfect game. I had like a day or two before started to ask my daughter, who's present at most of the games and absolutely adores Lila and all these other girls. I look over and she's on a different person's lap every 5 minutes. But being identified not by what you can do on a field, but by being a daughter of the King and being a vessel of his love is such a powerful lesson that's being taught in this dugout. We have a number of kids around, don't we?
Yes.
We have kind of a family atmosphere, both at practice and at games. And so just being present and saturating in that, I had started to go home and ask my daughter in the evening, like, how did you see God working today? This might have been day two or three of this question that Lila throws this perfect game. And without hesitation, she goes, I saw God working through Lila this evening. And I had to text Lila and tell her that you never know who is. And she wasn't seeing your success. She didn't know what a perfect game is probably still. But she knows that Lila's out there giving glory to God and what she is doing. She now also draws in the dirt the way that you do. And Chad pointed that out to me. I hadn't even noticed that. But she's drawn across in the dirt. And it doesn't mean you're going to be successful. Yeah. It means that God's with you all the time, and your identity is in the right thing, is rooted in the right thing. Yeah. So we want to go later in the season?
Yeah, sure.
You had said early in the season that I had this encounter with God, and he told me to surrender it. So this is after you surrendered the season to God, right?
Yes. So as the season was going on, I started noticing, like, changes in my team. Like, we were becoming more of, like a unit, like a unity, and, like, just really playing together and trusting each other. And so I decided to share that encounter with a few of the girls. I didn't share with the whole team quite yet because I didn't know if I was comfortable doing that yet. And so I shared it with Emma Morris, Ashlyn Splitzer, and Maddie Wolf. And they were very encouraged by it. That just made me realize that I need to share this with other people. And so, I shared it with a couple of the other girls. And I believe that it moved them, and I believe the Lord was doing something within our team this season. And I really started to notice at the end of the season that, wow, like, we are playing for a higher glory, like, as a team. It's not just individuals now. Like, we're all playing as a unit together for God. And right before region play, my coach, Coach Darren, he printed out the school banner in our school, and we had only won one region championship and had never won a state championship. And he printed it out as motivation. And took it home, didn't think much about it, sat it on my desk, and it sat there for like a week. And then it was the day before the region championship game against TA. I was looking at it, and I was like, maybe I should pray over this. And I felt like the Lord was leading me to do that. And so I started praying over it. And I started praying for each of my teammates, and that they would just have clear minds going into this game and that there would be no pressure on them. Yeah, and then we went into the game, and right before the game, my mom came up to the dugout, and she was like, here, put this in your back pocket. And I was like, what is this? And it was a mustard seed. And she told me that if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can tell a mountain to move here from there. Nothing's impossible. So stuck it in my back pocket, We played the entire game, and our team just was really coming together in that game, really just playing, once again, like I said, like as a unit, and we won that game. And it was amazing just doing that with our team. And still at that point, I didn't even have my mindset on the state championship. Like, I was just like, let's get past the first round of states. And so the rest, like, every day after that, I prayed over that piece of paper. And I just one game at a time. Like, I wasn't even looking towards the future.
Right.
And the Lord, just one game at a time, he just kept providing. And then when we got to state tournament, we were playing New Kent. And during the game, like, you could just really feel the Holy Spirit all over the field and all over, like, each other. And they, like, New Kent, they got up on us. I forget the score, but they were up by, like, two or three runs. And we came in the dugout, and all of us girls, we were like, we're not going to give up. Like, we got this. And, like, we were telling each other, like, we fully believe in one another. During that game, when I was on the mound, it was hot, very hot. And I was not feeling the best, and I just kept telling the Lord, like, you do this. Like, this is you. This is your strength. Like, you work through me. And he did. And it was the last inning. Winning run was on third, and New Kent had walked Maddie Wolf, and then they walked me. And when I was at first base, and even on the on-deck circle before they intentionally walked me, I started like tearing up and crying, and I was, because I just knew that the Lord was getting ready to do something. So when they intentionally walked me, I came off the field, and Emma Morris was up to bat, and I grabbed her hands, and I said, you got this. I said, in Jesus' name, you will get a hit. And first pitch that was thrown, and she hit it straight to the center fielder, and winning run came in. And it was just amazing. And just seeing Emma having so much confidence in herself, it was just really awesome. And just seeing the Lord move through her was amazing as well.
Lila, it sounds like that kind of like God's given you a platform, softball, giving you and your teammates a platform to talk about things beyond softball that will last longer than softball, our relationship with Christ. Mm-hmm. Also, in sports, it's very important, not just obviously you have to have skill and ability, but chemistry. Yeah. Sounds like you have bonded through your faith, which has created great chemistry on the field. So if you want to, just anything else you want to add to what you've shared already as far as that's concerned and how important that was along the run to the state championship.
Yeah. So actually, before we made it to the state tournament in Fluvanna, we played our first state game at Broadway. And my mom had brought the mustard seeds to give to everybody.
Yeah.
And she shared the verse with them, Matthew 17:20.
Right.
And she just shared a little bit more of what she felt the Lord leading her to say. And I think in that moment and like during that game is when everybody on our team really started to realize, like, wow, we can do this. If we have faith, we can do this. Because Coach Becky always says, we're not the most athletic team. We look like the Bad News Bears. Like, she's like, but you could just tell there was just this new type of faith that I think was missing at the beginning of the season, and it just started to come more. And after that, everyone was like, we need mustard seeds in our back pockets. We need to have as much faith as we can. And I think that played a big part in our run.
And that's a great illustration, the mustard seed, like you said, because it's so small.
Yeah.
And it shows that you don't have to have a whole lot of faith, just a little bit of faith. And talking about taking it one game at a time, too, because if you were to have looked ahead, then maybe you wouldn't have ended up where you all ended up.
I'm going to read it right here. Jesus told them, I tell you the truth. If you had faith even as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it would move. Nothing would be impossible. And I think it's interesting that at one point you said during the season, like, I had not even really thought about the state championship. Sometimes we need a redirect that our faith is what is going to move that mountain and not focusing on the mountain so much.
Right.
And I go back to, there was a practice late in the season where, as I observed, I was kind of like, man, we've lost our purpose. And it wasn't our best practice day. I think Becky was off watching a team and getting some intel. And so we had a conversation where I just tried to reconnect the girls with their purpose and their ability, because I think they didn't realize the ability that they had with the faith that they had to get where they wanted to go. And the whole time I was talking in this little pep talk that I gave, Lila is in the background, like behind everybody else, shaking her head yes and smiling because she knew it. They just hadn't caught on yet to, this is where we're going. We're a state championship level team.
The Lord's going to take us there.
The Lord's going to take us there, and let's practice like it also. Yeah. That came from my coach's heart. Yeah.
And I'm sure it's also a lot of pressure knowing that the school has never accomplished this goal before.
It's elusive. And, you know, I can tell you that it is super hard to get there. A lot of things have to go right. A lot of work has to go in. I think Lila's dad was a part of the Little League piece, certainly the travel piece early on that knit these girls together. There was a picture that circulated of them in Little League form that was just precious. And it was only 6 years ago.
Yeah.
And you go, there were so many coaches and family members and fans that fed into this, that sat on the bucket and called a little girl throwing balls everywhere, right?
Yeah.
She gives me hope, too, with my daughter pitching. She's like, I was wild at 10 years
really
old.
Hey, if you're effectively wild, I remember in Little League, some of those guys,
there was some girls
batters would swing because they were afraid.
Yeah,
it's true. Every now and then, you got to keep them guessing, throw one up there in the cage. But it's a beautiful picture of community that comes together and stays together to get these kids playing together and comfortable. I thought of another, in preparation for this day and this talk, there was another thought that I had. I was in the background at practice one day and shared something on communication with SJ, who's our, like, you know, senior leader, first baseman. We have many of them, but I had said something to her like, hey, if this helps, this is something I learned in college. It's a good communication piece. And she looked at me and she thought about it respectfully, and she's like, you know, we've played together so long, I think we know each other's voices so well. And where I had learned that, we were from six or seven different states, and so that piece of communication was powerful. On your team, you all know each other so well.
Yeah.
And it brings me to the verse about my sheep know my voice. Yeah. You know, if you know the voice of your father and you know where you're going, you're not going to have a miscue.
Yeah. That's good. And in our weakness, he's made strong.
Yeah.
So like, and you were talking about improving and facing hard times. Like, I think that makes us stronger, because if we don't face any adversity, then maybe we feel like we don't need any help, that we can do it on our own. But when God makes us realize that we need him, like you said, it was in his strength, not in your strength.
Yeah, sometimes he has to knock you down a peg to help you out and humble you so that he can be the one getting the glory. Yeah. Also, I think a big part of my testimony is when I realized that softball is not my identity,
right,
and that's a gift,
right,
that the Lord has given me. And when you let him like play through that gift, like you let him like play with you and not just you out there on the mound like by yourself, it's when I really started to find my identity in Christ.
That's powerful. Yeah, because we'll always have our identity in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
No matter if something happens and for some reason, you'll always have your identity in Christ. So it's okay to have a passion and a talent and an ability, as long as we give credit to the one that gave us those talents and abilities. Lila, what else would you like to share about your testimony that you haven't shared already, or that we haven't asked already?
So when I met the Stu Millers, I started going to church and started inviting my family, and my mom started jumping in on it, and she started coming, and just the Lord really started changing things in her life. She used to deal with like a lot of anxiety, and I believe like the Lord's restored that in her, and she's living with a lot more joy now and just seeing that. And it's funny because I used to be like testifying to her and sharing the stuff with her, and now she's doing the same to me.
And your whole team.
Yes. Yeah. And that's just amazing. And just seeing the Lord bringing her back to childlike faith has been a blessing. And actually, she got baptized on Easter.
Wow.
She had been really wanting to do that, and a lot of prayers went into that. And actually, on Easter, my dad ended up getting baptized as well.
Wow.
And he wasn't planning on doing that. And my dad, he's got some thick skin and some walls, and just seeing him fully surrender to the Lord that day, like, it was just a stepping stone to what the Lord has for him. That was just really amazing to witness.
The curtain was torn in two.
You
were talking about the access that we have to the Holy Spirit, and I think we just have to walk through that space. He's always right there.
Right, yeah. We just have to let him in, like you said earlier.
Yeah.
It says, I stand at the door and knock, and just open the door, I will come in and commune with you, is what the Bible says. So
yes,
you just have to let him in. And sometimes we put walls around us sometimes, but God wants us to like tear down those walls and be vulnerable. And sometimes being vulnerable is the bravest thing that we can do, showing weakness, because we all need Christ and his strength. So thank you for sharing that.
I think that vulnerability is certainly what drew me in deeper relationship to Christ. It was never the people who professed to be perfect. I was unimpressed by that sort of testimony for 30 years of my life. But it was the ones who said, I'm not perfect, I need Christ, who lived that out for me, that made me say, you know, I want that. I want that kind of faith that says he will bridge the gap and cast my sins as far as the east is from the west. So I had already decided to ask Lila to share her testimony because of the things that I had seen her living out this year, how she treats her teammates, her coaches. She is a leader that never gets daunted by a mistake, never blames somebody else, and has the light of Christ in her. And so I'd already decided that. But then something really cool happened the week of the state tournament. So what can you share with us that was powerful in your life testimony and story that happened in early June of 2025?
Yeah, so state championship. So that night before our game, our whole team stayed in a hotel together, and I continued that night to pray over that piece of paper, and I was like, Lord, we're here, like, let's finish this. Like, I want you to finish this. And because the day before, I had already thrown 100-plus pitches. I don't know the exact number.
In a heat index of probably over 100. I mean, it was miserable.
Yeah, it was crazy. But that night, like, my team, they were making sure I was comfortable. They were, like, helping me recover and do all this, like, stretching and stuff like that, ice baths and stuff. And just us really, like, bonding over something, like, that's not just softball and, like, hanging out. That was a big thing going into the next day. But the day of the state championship, I woke up early that morning and prayed over the piece of paper again. And when we got to the game, I was full of nerves because it was TA, Turner Ashby, one of our rivals. But we had played them 4 times, and I was praying again. I was like, Lord, like, I want you to finish this. I want you to be the one getting all the glory no matter the outcome, no matter we win or lose. Like, you have brought us this far, and we're grateful to be here. And during that game, there was times in, like, even the third and fourth inning, I was like, I don't even know if I can get another pitch across the plate. I'm exhausted. Jesus kept telling me, like, no, you're not done. Like, I'll strengthen you. Like, we're going to get through this together. And there was times, like, TA had, they had 2 home runs hit off of me. And as a team, we were all just like, it's okay. We know how to battle back, and we don't have to battle back by ourselves. Mm-hmm. And, you could just tell there was so much faith in our team during that game. And, yeah, it was amazing winning that as a team, but also for God's glory.
Yeah. It's cool that he gave you victory, but win or lose, what you all learned that season and how you all bonded was probably just as big as winning the state championship.
Yeah. And it was really cool after the game. Like, I didn't realize it when I was being interviewed after the game. One of my close friends and family, Grace Stu Miller, she had taken a picture of me getting interviewed, and she was like, this is so cool. Like, this is exactly what you saw. And I was like, wow. Like, and I really, like, it really brought me back to that moment in the car. And I was like, wow, like, God did, like, he did what he showed you. And, like, he is faithful, and he is a faithful father, and he will get, like, if you take delight in the Lord, he will give you your heart's desires. And
yes.
I just think that was really amazing.
So where our stories kind of intersect, and this is a fun fact, I'm originally from TA and married a guy from West Virginia. And so I land myself squarely in the middle, which is Broadway. And I keep telling people, you got to bloom where you planted. Also, nobody from TA married me, so hey, not my fault, right?
Yeah.
So I have been in this community and immersed with these girls, and so I got a lot of calls and texts and conversations at work and all kinds of stuff, because I, you know, from the TA community, will always appreciate that start, the fundamentals, the tradition, the people, like, just couldn't be more grateful. But I'm also immensely grateful to be planted in the community that I'm in. And the folks that have asked me questions after the state championship, it was like, I think it's wonderful. The two best teams in the state are 30 minutes apart.
Yeah, I thought that
Lila
was cool.
Lila has teammates from TA on travel. A lot of the girls are friends. And so it's a beautiful place for there to be competition. But I tell people that if you knew these girls and you knew the depth of their character, when they won, when you threw that ball to first base, I think I was on the mountain in Luray driving towards the All-Star game that I had to coach, and I cried all the mascara off my face, like, because you all are so deserving. And it doesn't always work out that way. But this was the script that God wrote for his glory. And it's just been beautiful to kind of sit in the background, take it in, and watch these kids elevate, but also intertwine and connect. And that will last a lifetime.
Well, Lila, just in closing, we call this program Hope Talks, and maybe you've already shared this, but beyond a state championship, which maybe the opportunities he's given you since that, what is bringing you the most hope in your life right now?
Just that, I think, just that the gospel is still alive today, and Jesus is still healing and just restoring things in my life and everyone around me, and I just think that's what brings me hope.
Yep. Thank you for sharing, and thank you for joining us on Hope Talks today. And Micah, thank you for joining us. It's been great to have you, and thank you for convincing Lila to come in here and share her testimony with us.
I will always love sharing stories for God's glory, and she's a good one.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. I pray that as you've heard Lila Deaver's testimony today, that it truly has been a half hour of hope for your life. May God bless.
Hope Talks is sponsored by Church of the Nazarene in Harrisonburg in partnership with Sunshine Ministries. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure to subscribe, rate, and leave a review on Spotify or Apple Podcast. Your feedback helps us spread hope to even more listeners. Stay tuned for more uplifting stories in the next episode. Until then, keep the faith, share the love, and find joy in the hope that Jesus Christ brings.